I like baby dedications. I also like to preach the Word of God. And there are some people that say that, you know, they can't find anything in the Word of God that's relevant for them today. And I always say, that's interesting, because the Word of God has all the answers. If you believe that Jesus is the answer, there's a song that says, Jesus is the answer for the world today, and I believe that. Every situation, every problem, that Jesus is the answer. And this morning we're going to learn more from someone that could teach us something about the love of God. And I would like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you brought them, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to be reading verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And it reads this way, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." And the question we're going to consider this morning is this one. It's a simple one. What was so special about David for the Lord to say that he has found himself, like verse 14 says, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart? What was so special about David that the Lord would say that? Okay, now if I were to ask some of you this morning, what do you know about David? And probably the younger ones would say, "Oh, he killed Goliath." And that's true, he did kill Goliath, and sometimes that's all we know about David, isn't it? That he killed Goliath. Another group probably would say, "Well, he was a great friend of Jonathan." And yes, David was a great friend of Jonathan too. And another group, and maybe the older ones, maybe the 15, 16, 17-year-olds and on up, they would probably just kind of say, "Well, you know, he had that experience. You know with whom am I talking, right? Bathsheba. He had that experience." And so the question this morning is, if David had all that, what was so special about David that the Lord says, "I have found, I have sought a man after my own heart"? And the question is, could that be said of that of us today? Could you look in the mirror and say, "There is a man, there is a woman, after God's own heart"? You have probably heard the expression, "That's my boy. That's my boy." Now, you've probably said that a few times, right? "That's my boy." "That's my boy." And it's an expression that we hear people say, and those that are, you know, in the younger generation right now, they'll say, "You're the man, you're the man." You know, they point out their son, "You're the man." And we ask ourselves, why is that person so special for this other person to be saying, "That's my boy"? You've heard of Moses. Have you heard of Moses? Okay, I'm just checking if you're awake. You've heard of Moses, and Moses led the children of Israel through the desert for 40 years. I mean, he had to put up with all kinds of things. And I sometimes read what he put up with, and you know, that gives me encouragement. And through the desert and everything he went through, but the Lord did not say about Moses, "I have found a man according to my own heart," about Moses. He did not say that. Now, he did say about Moses that he was the most humble person. That I do have to say. And one of these days we'll talk about Moses' humility. Abraham. One day the Lord came to Abraham and he said, "Abraham, I want you to move." "Where to, Lord?" "I don't know, just move." Could you imagine that? The Lord coming to you and say, "I want you to get in that U-Haul and just start driving. Where to, Lord? I don't know. Just start driving. I'll tell you where to stop and what to do. That would take a lot of faith on my part, believe me. But the scripture tells us that Abraham heard and Abraham went. He left. He didn't know where he was going, but the Lord asked him to move, so he went. And you know, Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. Yes, he is. But we are not told that Abraham was a man after God's own heart. Why? What was so special about David for the Lord to say, I have sought, I have found a man after mine own heart? Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to see through the life of David here. We're going to just be going through the life of David, certain points that could teach us what's happening here. It's 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm not going to read everything, but you could just write it down and later on get the whole story. But verse 2 says, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed. He should have kept on sleeping. Seriously. He arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. See, we already have two problems there. There was a woman, and she was beautiful. And now we find David walking in that balcony. He couldn't sleep. He was probably wondering about all the problems of the kingdom or some of the things that might have been going on. There's a war going on. So I guess if there's a war going on, you as a king probably would not sleep. I would probably not sleep either if I knew that half of the church was divided and half of the other church was against each other and you guys were fighting. I don't think I'd sleep too. And that's what happened to David. And in the distance, as he's walking, he starts seeing something. It was that lady. And she was bathing. And at that point, David lost all good reasoning. He lost it. Why? Because when the Lord is not with us, we lose all sense of good reasoning. When the Lord is not with us, that's why it's important for us to have the Lord with us on a 24-hour basis, all the time. And so he sees the lady, and David is king, so he sends for her, and he takes her as his, quote-unquote, wife. And her name was? What was that? Okay, Bathsheba, Bathsheba, however you want to pronounce it, it was that lady. And the Bible says that he went into her and she conceived and bore him a child. Now, there was a little bit of a problem here. Just a tiny one. But I'll share them with you. The first one is that she was married. And that means that that woman did not belong to David. That was the first problem. Which means he committed adultery in the sight of God. And I don't know about you, how you feel about it, but adultery is a great sin. You still believe that? It is. It is a great sin. And yet the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. Why? If one of us were to commit that sin today, if your pastor were to commit that sin today, would you think he was a man after God's own heart? Yeah, thank you for being honest. And yet, David was a man after God's own heart. So, David realized that the lady was pregnant. She was with child. And so he comes up with this great plan. He says, I know what I'm going to do. And it seems like when we commit a sin, Satan kind of leads us to commit other sins to cover up the sin that we committed. Instead of coming to the Lord and repenting and asking for forgiveness, we try to do what we can first, isn't it? Don't we try to do that? We try to cover up what we do. And that is exactly what David did. And he said, the lady is with child. She is not mine. I'm going to have to do something to cover up. So Joab was the general, and he sends for Joab from where they were fighting. He says, Joab, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go and get the lady's husband and tell him to come home. Tell him the king is going to give him a vacation. Tell him the king says, you know, you've been working out, you've been fighting. That was the work that he was doing. He was fighting for the king. And he said, you know what? The king wants you to go home. Take a vacation, relax, go visit your wife, and just have a good time there at home. And you know what David was planning, right? If the husband went home, then he had kind of like, that child is not mine. He went home. I wash my hands of this one because he went home. But you know what? The husband was so loyal to the king. Now that was hard. He was so loyal. He loved his king so much that he said, King, I cannot do that. I cannot go home. How could I leave the armies, my army, my people here fighting, and I can't go home and then just have a good time? I can't do that. And David tried everything possible for him to go home, but he didn't. And finally, David thought, oh, what am I going to do now? And he finally said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. Joab, I want you to take Bathsheba's husband and put him out in the front, right in the front. And when the enemy is advancing and they're attacking, tell the rest of the troops to back up, so that he'll be there one against 1,000 or 2,000. What are the odds, huh? And that's what happened. And he was placed in the front of the line. He was killed. Now, let me translate that to you. David has already committed adultery, and now he has committed murder. And yet, he was the man after God's own heart. Why? Well, here's where it gets interesting. I want you to know something about David. Very important. You remember Nathan the prophet? 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm not going to go read it. When you get home, you could read it if you want. But 2 Samuel chapter 12. Nathan came to him because the Lord had asked him, had asked Nathan to go to the king. And Nathan comes to him and he tells him a story. I like stories. I like children's stories. And Nathan comes and probably tells him a children's story. And he says, that King David, I have a children's story. He probably said, a children's story? What in the world? My army's fighting. I have problems. Oh, but you're God's prophet. Okay, I want to hear the story. Well, there was a man, he said, who had thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep. He was rich. He had everything he could want and own. And he said, Nathan said, and there was another man who was very poor. He had a little house, and he only had one sheep. And this sheep, it was kind of like his pet. He loved the sheep, took care of it, probably even walked inside the house, probably slept inside the house. It was just, they loved this little sheep. And one day, the rich man gets a visitor. And he wants to prepare a lamb, a sheep for the visitor. So what does he do, king? He went to the other man's house and he took the sheep and he slaughtered it and prepared it for his visitor. By this time, David was getting red. He was getting really upset. And David said this, "Who is that man? Because that man should die." Boy, Nathan was just setting him up, wasn't he? You see, sometimes sin blinds us so much that we can't really tell or understand that it's us, that we are the sinners. And Nathan looks at him right in his eye and he says, "David, King David, you are that man. You are that man." And David could not take that. What did he do? He did the only thing that he could do, and the only thing that you and I could do when we commit sin. And he repented. He repented. But there was something that the Lord had already said. The Lord said the child must die. The child must die. And David, he couldn't take that. He put sackcloth on and ashes. And you know how they did that when they were really in sorrow and there was a sorrowful, repentant heart. And he cried, and he cried, and he did not eat for 7 days. He did not eat. He didn't do anything but cry and plead with the Lord for the child not to die. And after 7 days, they came to him, and David knew what had happened. The child had died. I want you to know something about David. While the child was alive, David was crying. He was mourning. He was pleading with the Lord. But when the child died, Scripture says that David arose and he worshiped God. The man after God's own heart does not stay down. When he commits sin, he repents. And he rises by the grace of God, comes to Jesus Christ, asks for forgiveness, he worships God, and he moves on. The man after God's own heart does not stay down. David knew he had done wrong after, you know, it was pointed out to him. And he worshiped. He was punished, but he worshiped. He realized who God was and who God is. So, well, how about us when we make mistakes, when we commit sin? Do we stay down? You know, some Christians have taken a liking to the ground. We should not do that. When we make mistakes, we should rise up and worship God. One writer said that there is no virtue in never falling, but there is virtue in rising each time we fall. We might make mistakes, and we'll continue to make mistakes. We live in a sinful world, but we must continue to move forward by the grace of God. The man after God's own heart rises. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We want to know this morning why David was a man after God's own heart. And he noticed that he rose up and worshiped God. 1 Samuel chapter 17 now is talking about an experience with David. The Philistines were fighting with their favorite enemy, which was the children of Israel. It seems like they were always fighting. And Jesse had the eldest sons go and fight for the king while David stayed home tending sheep. One day Jesse comes and says, David, I want you to go to the battlefield and I want you to take food to your brothers. Apparently the king did not supply this for them. So take extra food for them and so they could be well. And David went. When he arrived at the battle, he saw a sight that he could not understand. He saw the children of Israel all huddled together, and they were all shaking and they were in fear. Something was scaring them. And David decided to find out why they were afraid. Well, early in the morning the next day, he found out why they were afraid. And you could hear the ground vibrate as this man approached the camp. Goliath. You know, he was only 9 feet something. I don't know, 400 and some pounds. The spear and all the armor that he wore was probably weighed more than my Jetta did. It was just an amazing sight to see this man, and he was saying, challenging the children of God to come and send one man to fight him. That was the challenge. And this 17-year-old boy took up the challenge. And he went to the king, and then Saul was there, and he started talking, and the brothers, they were not in favor of this. You know that. You know that they didn't want to do this. He was a crazy little boy. So after hearing him, Saul decided to give him his helmet, all his armor and everything. David tried it on and he could not move. He said, King, he's gonna get me. I can't even move with all these things. So he just took him out. He had one thing. He had a sling shot, and that was it. That's all he had. And when the king asked him, How are you going to kill, or how are you going to fight this man? And David said, King, I remember one time, a few times, where a lion or a bear would come and attack the sheep, and I would go after this bear or this lion, and I would kill him. I've killed him with my hands, with my own hands. And the king said, well, that's very impressive. Well, we'll see what happens when you go and fight. And David went, and he met that giant. And you know the story. David came to him and said, you come to me with a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. The man after God's own heart always, always goes in the name of the Lord. Always. When difficulty comes, when you find yourself in a trial, we must always act in the name of the Lord. Don't act in your own name. Always act in the name of the Lord. David went in the name of the Lord, and he was able to defeat the giant. Not because he was a skilled warrior or a skilled slingshot. No. He defeated the giant because he went in the name of the Lord. So what am I asking you this morning to do? When you face your trials, when you face your giants, when you face your problems, don't go in the name of yourself, but go in the name of the Lord. You will have victory. That I could assure you. From then on, David became very famous, you know, very famous. And as a matter of fact, he became so famous in Israel that Saul started getting a little bit jealous. Oh, yes, when two men are, or three, and they're, you know, the ladies, you kind of do something to our brains, don't they? Here's what happened. The ladies started singing this song when they would come in, and they sang, Saul has killed his thousands. But then they said, but David has killed his 10,000s. Oh, that wasn't good. That was not good. Saul began to get jealous, and because, you know, Saul was still kind of like king. And the situation came to the point where the Lord rejected Saul. Okay? The Lord rejected Saul, and David was anointed king. Now, just follow me here. David was anointed king, but David had not received the crown yet. All right? He was king to be. But in the meantime, what was Saul doing to David? He was trying to catch him so he could reward him for something. He was trying to catch him so he could kill David. Okay? So after all this running that Saul was doing, apparently he got tired. He went to sleep in a cave. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the king, King Saul, is sleeping in a cave. Now, you know, I see the President of the United States when he goes out someplace. Sometimes there are more FBI agents than people there. And if King Saul was sleeping in a cave, David must have found some secret entrance. Either he went in that cave before the king went. Somehow, David was inside that cave. And Saul is sleeping there, the rock, heavily guarded the entrance of that cave. I mean, soldiers and everything. And David was right behind him. Could you imagine that? What a good time to rationalize. We do good at rationalization. Let's rationalize a little bit here. He's trying to kill me. And he's sleeping. I've been anointed king already. The Lord has rejected him already. It's my life or his life. I mean, wow, all that rationalization that we could do. So David pulls out his knife and he gets the king's robe and he cuts it out. I don't know what shape he cut out. Maybe a happy face, I don't know. But he wanted to make sure that it was the king understood what he was going to do. And so that's what David did. And the next thing we find is the king, he's waking up, he comes out of the cave, and then he's walking, and then he hears, King Saul! And he turns around and probably he looks, and David is probably standing right where the track of the school starts, right there, just far enough. So if they start chasing after him, he'd take off too. King Saul. And then he lifts up what he had. And the king looks, that looks like my robe, at least part of it. And then he looks down and he picks it up and he realizes that shape matches. It matches. Then he realized that David had the opportunity to kill him, but he didn't. Why? Here's why. Because the man after God's own heart does not take revenge. If someone does something to you that's really bad, whatever it might be, don't take revenge. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. But isn't that our tendency? When somebody does something bad to us, what do we start planning in our minds? Get even, or maybe even top it. Make it even worse for them. You remember the story Doug Batchelor says about the person that came and took something out of his car or something and did something to his car, how he started thinking of all the things he would do to him? You know, and I sometimes think that, I think that way too. Especially, you know, when people come, I remember some kids came in our last district and they wrote, they did graffiti all over the church and the school. Boy, that got me upset. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, I wish I don't get my hands on them because they might have a few broken hands to go to the hospital. You know, but that's us. That's our human thinking. The man after God's own heart does not take revenge. He could have killed Saul, but he decided to wait on the Lord. Saul went to war last time, and I just explained to you why this third point is very important, not to take revenge. Saul went to war. The battle was fierce. And Saul eventually was wounded. And he eventually died. But there was an Amalekite that came, which I want you to know he twisted the whole thing. And he came to David and brought news to him about the battle. And this is what he said to David. He said, I was passing and I saw Saul leaning towards one side. He was wounded, and I knew, he said, I knew he could not live. And then he said, and then he called me, and he said, finish me off. And the Amalekite said, I did not want to do that, David, King David. I did not want to do that, but he forced me to. And finally, I finished him off, he said, and now I brought you the crown. And he gave David the crown with a smile on his face because he thought that David was going to what? To give him a reward or something, maybe make him some type of prime minister because he had killed his enemy, the one that was trying to kill him. But there was something that happened here. David asked him a question. And here's the question that he asked him. Weren't you afraid to kill him? Look at me. Weren't you afraid to kill the Lord's anointed? In other words, David was more concerned that Saul was the Lord's anointed rather than that Saul was his enemy and that he was trying to kill him. Don't ever take revenge. And here was the Amalekite waiting for a reward. And David said to his armor bearers, kill that man. Huh? Kill that man. Why? Because he just killed the Lord's anointed. You know, sometimes we try to get people out of a certain office. We try to do something that, you know, oh, I don't like that person there. Or I don't like that leader. Let's get together and do this or do that. Or, you know, humanly, we try to do all the things that we can. I want to tell you something. If the Lord puts someone in a certain place, don't you ever try or attempt to remove him or her. The Lord will take care of that in his own time. That I could assure you. So, David, why was he the man after God's own heart? Number one is that he never stayed down. He committed sin. He did everything. Yes, he did. But he always came back and continued to move forward. Number two, David always went in the name of the Lord. You know, whenever I go in the name of Pastor Walter, I sometimes, for the most part, fail. But when we go in the name of the Lord, you will have victories in your life. David doesn't rush ahead of the Lord. And David doesn't take revenge. He does not take revenge. And this morning, I would like for us to take examples of David. Because I believe that you and I can become people according to God's own heart. Yes, we can. And by the grace of God, we can become women in God, women and men after God's own heart. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless all of us as we continue to strive to be more like Jesus Christ. I would like for us to sing together hymn number 456, My Lord and I. That is so true. The Lord and I work together, and the Lord will continue to work in your lives as we try to be all we can to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to have the Word of God and to learn from those that we read about in the Bible. Father, I pray that we too may become people according to your heart. Father, I pray that we on a daily basis may continue to be more like Jesus. Help us not to be revengeful. Help us to always look up for your strength and not stay down, but continue to work towards being more like Jesus. Father, I pray that you may open our hearts so that he could change our hearts and mold us. Father, help us to understand that you will fight our battles for us, that we need to trust in you, that we need to go in the name of the Lord. So, Father, be with us now. As we go home, or as we go to our different places that we need to, and I just pray that you may continue to help us to keep your Sabbath according to your will, and may the Sabbath be used to get closer to you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.